Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Black Techies Podcast, courtesy of HBCU Digital Network. I am your host, Herbert Seward III, and I am joined by my colleague, Roberto Joseph, a.k.a. Black Tiger Kang. these new nicknames. Welcome, Roberto. Thank you for being on the show again. Can you guys hear me?
Hear me?
Yeah. Can we hear you? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, something's not happening. Like, I'm in here trying to get in, and my phone start playing Talib Kweli, and I'm like, this ain't the HBCU digital music.
That's horrible, man. Horrible. Yeah, we're supposed to be joined by our other colleague, Mr. Dominique Bass, a.k.a. Blackity Black Man, a.k.a. the most militant guy on the podcast. He should be en route, so don't be surprised as he pops in. You know, I'm trying not to call him on CP time, but, you know, it's CP time. But
that's what it is.
Yeah, man, it is HBCU homecoming season. I know, you know, we won our classic for Alabama State. You know, I mean, yeah, I'm sitting in a chair where I, you know, where the camera can't show it, but I'm wearing my hoodie. Morehouse, I don't think Morehouse was as lucky.
Oh, nah. Hey, look, one of my homeboys that go to Clark sent me our record, and I'm like, I know that we're 0-9. Like, I'm good with that because, you know, we produce a bunch of black doctors and leaders and captains of industry. You know, I got to do the same thing. Like, when people talk down on SEC schools and they're like, well, I mean, my school, our SAT scores were higher and we had less entry. Like, yeah, but y'all ain't won no championship. We talking about football. Like, I don't care nothing about none of them grades right now. So when they start talking about Morehouse, I'm like, okay, well, now I care about the grades now. Like, LSU, my team for football, also because my daughter goes there with all our money. but for everything else, I'm Morehouse down, which is why I got on my purple and gold today, even though you see I got on a print shirt, because it just didn't feel right to come on here with an LSU shirt.
Yeah, you would have got clowned. Definitely got clowned coming on an HBCU show with an LSU shirt. But, you know, I think, you know, before we get started, a big shout out to everybody that's celebrating, you know, homecoming weekend, you know, in HBCU spaces. I know on social media, folks that follow me on social media know that I moonlight as an HBCU sports and culture contributor for HBCU Digital Network and for Bustin' Brackets, and I do a bunch of spaces there. So that's all we've been talking about all week. You know, but this is a tech podcast. So there's some stuff that's happened since the last time we've been on that we got to talk about. The first thing that immediately comes to mind, the elephant in the room, is the dark overlord Elon Musk finally finishing, you know, his purchase of the Twitterverse and, you know, everything going to hell in the handbasket in Twitter as we can. You know, anybody that's been on the medium these days, whether it's the spike of hate, you know, of hate language, you know, just going the day he decided he just wanted to roll up, or the fact that he's just, you know, axing people left and right out of his departments. I'm not sure, man, if this dude is I want Dom on here to comment on this because, you know, Dom has a perspective that only he can add. And, you know, we don't have enough banner time for Dom. But we're going to have to wait.
I just got a thing from Twitter. They were like, hey, shout out. Like, you've been on here for 12 years. I'm like, 12 years? Like, I joined Halloween of 2010. And at that, for reference, I didn't have any kids at that point. And it's been a very long time. I think the first thing I tweeted about was how awful a movie was. And I've been bringing negativity to that space ever since. So that's just what I do. No, but seriously, like, I think it's funny because, like, honestly, I am so ingrained with other black people and I guess allies of other races that I can't tell you. I've been called the N-word more on Xbox Live than I've ever been called on Twitter. I'll tell you that. So well, seeing people go through it, I'm like, dang, y'all going through that? Like, why are y'all doing that? And they're like, well, I follow some conservative sites and some of their fans attack. I'm like, well, I know you don't want to be in an echo chamber, and I fully respect that. But like, you following, you know, KKKnews.com, and like, what do you expect to come of that? Like, well, I want to have some conversations outside of my sphere of influence. Like, yeah, me too. So like, I'll follow whoever created the song Sweet Caroline because I know they white. Like, I'm okay with that. But like, I'm not following no, you know, Latinos for Trump. I'm not doing that. Like, they're not my kind of. I'm not with them.
Yeah. Like,
if you genuinely are just a conservative person who may or may not like the last president, and you know you don't see him as an evil person, you just see him as a person and all that stuff, that's fine. But if you one of them, like you got a tattoo on your neck that said Trump 2024, we have nothing to discuss over the internet. In person, absolutely, because you know them people are a whole different type in person, but on the internet, all that keyboard courage stuff, that get, you know, like Mike Tyson said, you know, everybody got a plan until they get punched in the face, and you can't, nobody's getting punched in the face online. Not that I'm advocating violence, but like,
yeah. And I think that's going to be the crux of our discussion tonight when it comes to what's happening with the Twitter space. And you know, I'd be remiss to say that, you know, once the news broke that, you know, that Elon Musk was going to finalize his purchase of the platform, you know, folks are like, man, look, you know, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria type stuff. You know, mm-hmm. We're really, you know, we're trying to roll out. And, you know, this is particularly important, you know, for black content creators and people that utilize that space.
Absolutely.
For a lot of advertisement, for advertising culture and so on and so forth. You know, I think the most visible change of probably what's going to go down the pike is, you know, being able to pay $8 a month for that blue check. And I got to be honest with you, that's going to be straight chaos. You know, the moment that goes into effect and people can buy their verification without having to actually put in the work on the platform to, you know, verify news, verify where they stand in terms of disseminating content. I don't know, man. I think that's like just like somebody just dropping a nuclear thermonuclear bomb on the space.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think I see it from two different places, because as a person who stopped using that platform for years and then I started my business and I was like, dang, maybe I got to get back on there now. And like, I interact with blue check people here and there, but like, I'm trying to say this without cursing.
If
you're like CNN News or NBC News comes through and it's spelled with a Z and they don't have that blue check, or they do have the blue check, I'm not going to trust it. I mean, honestly, if it comes through with or without that blue check, like, I don't care, because I'm like, unless you telling me, like when I found out Takeoff died from an anime site on Twitter, I didn't even find out from like a hip hop media site. It was like a dude that just reposts a bunch of anime. And he was like, man, I really love that guy. And I loved Migos. Like, that was really like music for me to go out to, for me to hang out and like zone out to. And I was like, dang, that's messed up. And then like 20 minutes later, I think like CNN Twitter feed came in and was like, oh, this happened. So like that type of stuff. No, like if for like news that Kyrie Irving would repost, I don't need a blue check to verify whether or not it's real. Like, if you telling me something happened, I'm probably going to go Google it myself. That's just me. Yeah. Like, there's very little news that I get from anywhere that I look at and I'd be like, oh, dang, hey, babe, you know, unless it's some stupid thing with Herschel Walker here in Georgia, then like I probably will like, okay, that sounds, nah, that can't be right. Let me, I know that's not right. Oh, it is. Oh, actually, he did it twice. You know, like, so that's, it's, and I, but I understand that for the general population that believes what they read or see off the first glance because they feel like they can trust those people. Yeah. If something comes out and says with a blue check and says like, there's a fire in maybe another fire on another one of our highways here in Atlanta, then yeah, maybe that would cause people, oh dang, well, let me divert and let me not even pay attention. Let me just go without checking. So yeah, that could be chaos. And I guess this is just for skeptical black man of America. It's very little that you're going to tell me, unless you're telling me somebody died. That's usually the first, like, I'm like, oh, dang, they got so-and-so? Like, Aaron Carter? I think I just saw that he died. Yeah. You know, rip him. But, like, I was like, okay, what happened? Like, who is this? And why did it happen? Like, there's all that stuff that I would then deep dive into, you know, celebrity news and stuff like that is not really my bag, but that's usually what I would trust from the internet. Like anything more than that, vaccinations, war news, somebody dropped a bomb, you know, like somebody put out a diss record. Those are all very different things. So, and I feel like I'm more inclined to listen to trivial news from Twitter than I am serious news. But I know that there's a lot of people, like one of my friends is a Navy helicopter pilot that now works in DC, and he's on there all day arguing with people from the people that make jets and bombs and crap. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then there's a senator he's talking to, and I'm like, oh, you're using this for serious things. I was just stealing memes on here. So, you know, that, I know people use it differently. So
yeah,
that could be it too.
Yeah, I think people, I mean, I think that's a very good thing that to use as a segue into what we're, you know, continuing to talk about, obviously, the impact of what this means. Because, I mean, people have already started looking for alternatives, you know, for the platform. And I think people, you know, particularly black folk and black content creators, you know, anybody that's ever followed black Twitter for any stretch.
Yeah, Twitter belongs to black people.
Yeah, like, exactly. Twitter belongs to black folk. And the fact that you got a lot of content creators that are now like, man, look, I'm not, you know, we're going to have to pay for X, Y, and Z, you know, just to get verified, and that's going to turn everything all topsy-turvy. People, you know, the talk, now, I don't know how serious that talk is, because, you know, there are some other platforms that are, you know, competitors that are kind of running to get into the space now that Elon is taking over Twitter. Mm-hmm. You know, Mastodon, which is kind of like, you know, Twitter Lite 2.0.
Yeah.
You've got Isaac Hayes, the third, you know, offering a fan base, which is, you know, I think, you know, as a black owned, you know, social media platform, I think it's pretty unique.
Yeah.
I think the content, I think the way to monetize content on the platform is pretty unique. Although if you go on a platform right now, you know, the content is kind of sparse because people are, you know, there's a certain genre of people that are hitting the platform. And I think there's still a lot of marketing that has to go on to get a really wide variety of perspectives and content on that platform. I mean, you got Reddit. I mean, Reddit is the Wild West. You know, you got
Discord too.
Yeah, Discord is kind of the Wild West, unless you just set up your own
personal
fiefdom.
Tumblr just said that they were going to okay nudity back on the site, which I'm trying to really wrap my head around how that has to do with anything with the Elon thing. But at the same time, I'm not a Tumblr person, so I don't.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think, Yeah, and if you really think about it, think about this for a second. The first official post this guy made as owner of the company, you know, was like something that had a just a crap ton of disinformation. And, you know, rightly
was
so.
Was that the thing about urine? Was that the one? Was that his first post?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I mean, I think he's not doing himself any favors in terms of being as thin-skinned as he is, you know, against some of the heat that he's getting back. You know, advertisers are kind of like, are kind of leaving the platform now, which is a real big concern for the platform.
Especially for him, because he's looking at it as a second operation of money.
Yeah. I mean, you brought, I mean, but the thing that kind of gets me is that, yo, you know, you tried to get out of the purchase. Twitter was like, yeah, you ain't doing that. You know, you're going to, a deal's a deal, Sam, son. you know, and he goes through it. And the first thing he's doing is just completely gutting the platform of not just people that were admittedly just doing a lot, you know, just doing their job in terms of making sure that that platform was a very, was as moderated and as balanced a place as you could possibly, possibly get. But some of these folks are real, you know, are in, I mean, there are safeguards in place for, you know, the types of stuff we're starting to see now, you know, on the platform. And, you know, it's mind-boggling because it's like, you know, this is a, you know, this has a greater commentary outside of Twitter. You know, we all know what's going on with Kyrie Irving and him sharing a tweet of something, you know, on his.
Was it? I can't remember if it was Twitter or Instagram. Either way, it doesn't matter.
I think it's either Twitter or Instagram. I think it's either one. But he shared, you know, something on his platform. I forgot the name of the movie. I'm familiar with the source of it, and I watched the movie, but I can't remember the name of it. But it had a lot to do with, you know, Black folks and Black folks being the original Israelites. But there was components.
The official title. I know the title, but there's like a subtitle to it. It's Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America.
Yeah. And, you know, this is how I feel about this, man. All right. I don't, as somebody that's in the public eye, as an athlete, as somebody that has a platform where millions and millions of people look at your platform, whether you're an athlete, whether you're, you know, in entertainment, what have you, you've got to have enough common sense to understand that when you share something on one of your social media platforms, people are going to scrutinize what you share.
Yep.
And I mean, I've looked at commentary all this week in regards to, well, you know, they're trying to silence the dude, this, that, and the third. And I'm like, bro, if Kyrie Irving left basketball tomorrow morning, he would be still a multimillionaire with his own platform to talk about anything he wants. He could go out and buy a company, you know, make a company.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not like they're not, it's not a First Amendment, like, freedom of speech thing that's going on. It's just not even the NBA. It's his team, the Brooklyn Nets, which I'm not sure if people know anything about New York or the makeup of New York. But as a native New Yorker, there's no shortage of Jewish people in the New York sports media market. So I'm sure Brooklyn would be the first people to be like, hey, yo, chill out.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the NBA. It wasn't the government. It wasn't anybody. You know, it wasn't Biden. It was literally the Brooklyn Nets were like, all right, bro, we're going to Adam Silver, the commissioner of basketball, is Jewish. And he was like, I want to just have a conversation with him. I just want to see where he's at with it. And like, they're like, oh, man, they're trying to silence him. They're like, nah, if somebody made a movie about Caribbean black people being fakes and, you know, like we've faked our slave trade and, you know, whatever trauma happened to us generationally, and somebody was like, nah, we got to get them Caribbean people up out of here, I would be offended. And I would be like, yo, who said that? Yeah. You're like, oh, LeBron just retweeted a thing. He didn't really say nothing about it. I'd be like, well, I need to talk to LeBron and see like why he did that, because I'm just trying to understand like what did I do to you?
Yeah.
And people and are like, oh, no, I mean, it ain't even like that. But it's very hard, because right now, if I don't even want to use Brett Favre because he already in trouble, so I'm going to leave him alone. If if Daniel Jones, the quarterback from the New York Giants, just randomly tweeted out a Birth of the Nation link and didn't have no context to it, people would be like, Daniel, what you doing? What
exactly.
is this?
And
I mean, would he get as much scrutiny because he's white? Maybe he get the benefit of the doubt, because I mean, I'm not going to pretend like everything is not shaded by our perception of race and a person's mentality. Of course, you know, Kyrie already in trouble for the anti-vax stuff that he was going through, and again with the flat earth stuff, people are like, all right, Kyrie, you need to relax. But I would definitely say that I would be concerned before Daniel ever said another word. I'd be like, all right, Mr. Jones, you don't get 3-4 days to come to me with no statement about it. Like, I'm just I want to know why you thought Birth of a Nation was a film you needed to share. And he could be like, oh man, I just saw the movie and I thought it was disgusting, and I meant to put a caption, I wrote a whole speech, but I forgot to attach it to the thing, and here's what my original thing. And it would be too late for me. I'd be like, you sound like you backpedaling, bro. Like, I don't know if I can believe you at this point.
Yeah.
So like,
I feel you. And I think the thing that bothers me the most about this whole thing is not the fact that you know, black folks that are following this saga, you know, play out on social media. You know, first thing most black folks are saying right now is like, man, well, why isn't Amazon taking any heat about this? You realize how many, I mean, maybe some folks might want to go to Amazon's site and look at the reviews for flicks like that and other things that people have issue with. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that as long as there's an audience for that, mm-hmm. regardless of how much heat they get, mm-hmm. you know, Bezos, it's a
free and fair market, supposedly.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is that Kyrie Irving, much like any other athlete, once you sign that contract to be a pro athlete, like it or not, you are in that space. Yep. And that space, I hate to be the bearer of bad news for fans, but that space is run by who?
Yeah. And we not even got to, you don't even have to specifically point to a singular group of white people, yeah. to say like, oh, well, it's the Jewish media or something. Like, it didn't even got to be that.
It's not even.
It's just.
Yeah, we're not even talking about people that own NBA franchises or the like. Yeah. We're talking about your audiences. Mm-hmm. We're talking about advertisers. We're talking about, you know, business partners for, you know, for the NBA globally. You know, those sorts of things. People got to understand, man. It's like, you know, it's the same, you know, I think there's one cat online that I had a discussion with that equated what was happening to Kyrie Irving to lynching. And I was just like, dude, yo, just log off.
It's killing me. It's killing me. Because they're like, we're watching two black men getting lynched. And Jay-Z and Puff Daddy won't step in and do something.
Yeah. First of all,
who's getting murdered right now?
Yeah. It's like,
who's getting tortured?
I had to stop the guy. And I mean, I tried not to take a tone with him to be, you know, dismissive, because I mm-hmm. wanted him to understand that the correlation and the metaphor that he was using, you really don't understand what that means.
That's a whole different.
That's a whole different animal. You're talking about, you know, Black people getting dissected, burnt alive, and people taking postcards and sending them to their family across the country.
Yeah. That ain't, now, if you're saying he getting jumped, I'll let you have that.
Yeah.
Like, he over here getting undressed, he getting jumped. Whatever you want to call it. But there is no time where saying somebody is getting lynched. That's like you. I mean, like, how would you feel it if one of your white coworkers was like, man, Jesus, the second week of overtime? I thought we abolished slavery.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for a fact, you would be like, hold on now, Tom.
shut up, fam.
You're not doing that over here.
Yeah. And I think people, you know, are kind of blurring those lines between, you know, seeing somebody offer dissent in an environment where people actually have the option to withdraw their support or not, and blurring that line between, what's the term I want to use? Persecution.
Yeah. And there's a fine line between persecution and consequences.
Yeah. And I think
that's the thing that we're missing, because everything I've seen has been very hyperbolic, to say the least. Like, I can't even think of another word. Like, everything has been like either like Kyrie is some genius free thinking martyr who's the next Garvey, or like he's the devil himself and he's basically Hitler with a layup package. And I'm like, neither one of those things are accurate. He's just a guy who plays basketball, who also is brave enough to say whatever he thinks. And a lot of times he does not, in my opinion, he doesn't really think about, because he just apologized. Yeah. And I don't want him to apologize for thinking. I don't want him to apologize for trying to research. I don't want him to apologize for none of that, because he's allowed to have those thoughts. I just want him to think. There's a 3-hour movie that you posted. Did you watch all 3 hours? Did you ingest all 3 hours? Were there any parts that you weren't comfortable with? Because obviously he's like, oh, you know what? There were some parts of it I wasn't comfortable with. Then you probably should have said that instead of trying to be slick and just be like, well, I'm just going to post the thing and not say nothing about it. Or not, maybe not be slick. Maybe just, I don't know if it's arrogance or ignorance. I don't know which one it is.
Well, he doubled down a lot. And I think...
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the other thing that kind of bothers me about this whole thing. And I'm, you know, and, you know, full disclaimer out here, you know, Kyrie Irving, you know, maybe a lot of things, but I don't think that dude's a bad guy. I don't think that dude's I don't think he's an anti-Semite.
No.
What I do think is that sometimes he says and does shit that he doesn't research.
No.
You know, he'll say something. And this is a perfect example, because
I need to look it up real quick, because I'm like, I feel like I'm not gonna give him a pass because he's 23 and he's a millionaire, but
yeah,
I'm just curious.
Yeah, he's 30. He's 30. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I mean, look, let me put this in the context. If I went on my job, you know, where I work at, and you know, I decided to share this tweet, you know, share this movie out on a tweet or out on Instagram where my bosses could see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm toast.
Right.
Peace out, homie. You're going to have to get yourself another gig.
Right.
And I think that disparity in terms of power and economic leverage, people kind of forget, you know, the Kyrie Irvings and the LeBron Jameses of the world, for all the good that they do in terms of, you know, lending their voice to a platform or speaking out on issues, at the end of the day, they're working from a place of leverage that the average Joe ain't.
Nope.
And I think people...
It's right back to that Will Smith argument.
Yeah, and I think people need to understand that when they start talking in hyperbole about, well, this dude's getting silenced. They're doing a social media lynching on this guy, blah, blah, blah. It's like, bro, you say that around the wrong people, man. People will look at you crazy if at least, and maybe get smacked in the mouth for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got, you know, as somebody that's got family roots in the South, we don't speak lightly about stuff like that.
Nope.
And I think, and by the way, we have an ad break coming up, commercial break. So we're going to segue into this. I just want folks to really think about this because we're going to talk a little bit more after the break, you know, about what the landscape is and, you know, on Twitter. But we're going to talk about some other things that have a lot to do with how the environment has changed. So until then, stand by for an ad break and we will be right back.
We all stand on the shoulders of those who came before us.
A black future happens all the time. It's built on a foundation of those who have paved the way. A generation ago, all of this would have seemed unheard of. And what's new to the world now will be incomparable to what's coming up next. Trust your dream. The future is counting on it.
And we are back. Thank you guys for being patient with us. And, you know, I think we're, you know, before we get to, you know, some lighter fare, you know, I just wanted to end on this. At the end of the day, what's going on with Twitter, what's going on with people being able to using their platforms either wisely or unwisely to advance specific ideas or agendas or perspectives, folks got to understand that, you know, there's a price tag to that. That price tag depends entirely on who you are and where you're doing it in, what environment you're doing that advancement in. You know, as it relates to any professional league in this country, I mean, you sign that contract, you're operating in their world. You know, unless you're owning somebody's pro franchise that we don't know about.
Right.
You know, you're subject to the whims of the consumer and you're subject to the whims of the person that pays your paycheck, pays your salary. And I think.
And let's be fair that is not necessarily something that either of us are saying, oh, that's the way that it should be.
Absolutely.
And that's fair and all this other stuff. We're not saying that. What we're saying is that is how it is. That is currently how it works. So at no point are we saying, like, you know, Master giving you that check, so you gotta like tap dance and beat and enjoy it. We're not saying that. We're saying like that's the way that it works now. And if you have your own platform, if you like, I don't think that if we were on another platform that was majority white, that we would be able to just be HBCU focused and there would never be a cut in of a commercial where there's McDonald's with kente cloth boxes or something like that, where they wouldn't like undermine what we're doing with pandering.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing. Like even when Kanye went on LeBron's show and LeBron didn't like what he said, so he just didn't air it. And he was like, I just chose not to air it. And I deleted the footage. So it's a wrap on that. It's very different than where Noriega, and I love Noriega, he chose to go through with the Kanye interview and giggled the whole time with him. And then as soon as he got some heat from it, people started talking about they was suing. He was like, hey, I apologize. I didn't know that's where he was going with it. Like, you knew. That's why you got him on the show.
Yeah.
You don't get Kanye on the show for him to be normal. Like, you get him on the show because you know it's going to be an interesting conversation. You don't know which Ye is going to show up, but either one is going to be interesting. Yeah. You can at least know that it's going to sell some tickets.
You know, and I want, and you know, before we transition into, you know, our next topic, I want people to understand something. When it comes to that, you know, like I said, you're operating in an entirely different world. You know, if you sign, you know, if you're a pro athlete and you sign that check, or you sign a contract with somebody to be their face, whether as a participating athlete, as a commentator on the network, or what have you, you're limited.
Yeah.
I mean, all you have to do is look around this week at who responded and how they responded. And I want to make something really clear. Kyrie making an apology wasn't silencing.
No.
Kyrie making an apology was him looking out for his interests.
Mm-hmm.
He made that apology because he saw that Nike endorsement going. He saw, you know, that 5 days without pay salary hitting. And the thought occurred to him, was like, oh, damn, they ain't playing around with this.
Yeah, and if we're being 100% fair to Kyrie, perhaps in the 2 or 3 days that this has happened, he had time.
Exactly. That
one of his friends could have sat him down, or maybe he did talk to Commissioner Silver already, and Commissioner Silver was like, well, let me explain to you why this is kind of messed up. What did you feel about this part? And he was like, oh, I didn't really mess with that part, but that's not what I was saying. And somebody could have been like, yeah, you agreed with 2 hours and 45 minutes of it, but that other 15 minutes, problem that we have with it. You don't see how that could be a problem? And he's like, if you went off all game and in the last 5 minutes where we needed you, you fouled out, nobody's going to say that you had a fantastic game. They're going to point to that part where you fouled out. Like, that is just the way that media works. Even if what happened or what was said in that documentary that we're not going to get into, even if what was said in that documentary wasn't completely offensive and it was just mildly grating, somebody still could have been like, I don't know, like, really, you rocked the whole thing. So, like, maybe at some point he was like, you know what, I saw this, I watched it, I learned something from it, and, you know, my bad, guys. Like, I didn't know that part was in there, and apparently, you know, it was some stuff that I didn't really think through, and I still believe that this was informative, but I believe that this part was harmful. So I still want y'all to get this information out of it, but hold me to this, you know, like the anti-Semite stuff, because that's not how I feel. He even went on, he was like, he's an omniist and he doesn't lean one way or the other. He just wants to learn from everything. And I respect that. But again, you know, you being in the public eye, like, he was arguing with the dude. He was like, I mean, like, you just going to try and get another soundbite from me so you can be famous. And all I did was retweet it. I'm just a person. Don't dehumanize me. It's hard not to be dehumanized when you've become a business as a person. Like, you're a walking, like, even Shaq was like, you know, I don't tweet about a lot of stuff and I don't do a lot of social media stuff because who I am. Also, I mean, Shaq was the first person that was like, I saw an opportunity with the Papa John stuff and I stepped in and I wanted to get that money because I knew they was going to have an opportunity. And some people are like, oh, well, Papa John's and Shaq's a sellout. Shaq is an opportunist. And I think him being vocal, and I also want to say that I think it's very unfair how Scythian we are about things these days. Like, we are very black or white about things. Like, if we disagree with Kyrie, we're coons. If we agree with him, we're weirdos or hoteps. Like, there's a space for you to be like, no, I see what he was trying to get to. There are definitely black Hebrew Israelites. There are black people everywhere across every stretch of the thing. And there also are black Jews that exist in Oregon somewhere that are just black people who happen to have been born into a family of Jewish people who have been Jews for generations. That does not make anybody else's foundations or anybody else's anything to be false or aggressively malaligned or anything like that. I just think it's two things can be true. And I think too many times we're trying to like mutually exclusive things, like, man, y'all here arguing about Kyrie and Takeoff and Ukraine is in war and Flint still ain't got clean water. And I'm like, yeah, we know all these things.
Yep. And
we can only report on one thing at a time.
Yeah, we can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time.
Yes.
I think, you know, and, you know, this is the last thing I'll say on this because we got some consumer stuff to talk about.
Fun stuff.
You know, I mean, I think it would behoove, I think what's happening with Kyrie, just like anybody else, is, you know, it's a cautionary tale, in my opinion. You know, mm-hmm. It's not necessarily about the fact that he forwarded something because he thought, you know, this way about a certain, you know, people or what have you. It's about just having the wherewithal of understanding that, hey, your platform is seen by millions of people. Do the research.
Yeah.
Watch the flick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and make a discernment about, you know, what applies to what before, you know, you just post something. Because when somebody challenges you on it, you know, and you don't know, I mean, and it was very apparent to me that's like, okay, well, we talked about something, yeah. You know, only watched a portion of it. It's like, who just watches a portion of, you know, and then posts that? That makes no sense. And
yeah,
then,
that's like reading half of a Mark Twain book and being like, why y'all say he racist? Like, I don't get it. He never said,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, I didn't see this part about the guy, yeah. The gym fella. I didn't get that part yet.
You know, and I think it's a cautionary tale for all of us, you know, when we're, you know, in whatever capacity, you don't have to be an athlete to be on a platform and say some stuff that offends a portion of a demographic. You know, I mean, you got an employer, you work in the space, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, and that's not, that's something that's universal.
Yeah.
You know, I there are plenty of, you know, we won't be replaced folks that are out of work these days because,
mm-hmm.
you know, they burn a tiki torch on Facebook and somebody said, oh, you work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phone.
Anything that you do that could possibly detract from your employer's bottom line, you will be dismissed or you have to be publicly reprimanded. So your investors see that you don't align with that ideal. For the most part, there are some people that get away with stuff. I don't know what Brett Favre is doing these days besides being trash as, you know what?
Trash as hell.
I don't know what he's doing or who employs him, but I know that he's still walking around free and he's done way worse things. But I also know that I don't want to get into the game of like, oh, what about this? What about, I don't want to get into the whataboutisms of things, but it is very telling about like the crimes don't fit the punishment even when you're in the public eye. And it's very obvious. And again, this is not like capital punishment. This is capitalist punishment. If you're messing with somebody's money, they got to mess with yours. That is how it works. That's how it worked with Kanye. That's how it works with Kyrie. And you saw that's how it worked with Kaepernick when Kaepernick actually was not offending anybody, but people were just like, I take offense. This our troops didn't die for this. And the troops were like, I don't have a problem. Like, no, you're offended. Trust me. Like, no one offended. And, you know, people are now like, well, he came back, tried to get a paycheck. He likes doing what he's doing. Like, I'm not sure what else he's qualified for, or whatever else he practices his entire life to do. But I know if I played football at that level, I'd want to go back and play it. But, you know, Michael, I think everybody is like already turning on the whole thing where, I'm sorry, we just got a comment and said, isn't the book documentary sold on Amazon and no one is trashing them? I feel like Jeff Bezos is permanently on somebody's shit list just because of who he is as a person. I mean, a billionaire who says like he's concerned about the environment, concerned about his employees, and he's actively closing Amazon warehouses and people are out of jobs. And, you know, I don't think that anybody's looking to him for him. And also, I think if it wasn't sold, because if you're looking at it from a positive light, if you're seeing this book as something that's not negative, then it would be unfair that he's trying to silence the Black Hebrew Israelite movement. And if you're in a fair and free market, you should be allowed to sell anything, even if you don't agree with it. The Satanist Bible is on there. The Anarchist Cookbook, I think, is probably one of the things that may not be on there, just because it teaches you how to build bombs and stuff.
Yeah, that's an active, you know, there's hardly any place online that outside of the dark web that you're going to find, you know, the Turner Diaries or the Anarchist Cookbook. You know what I'm saying? It's those sorts of things that, you know, that people obviously draw the line at, because people are directly influenced by literature like that. And that influence turns into, you know, directed violence against somebody else. And
because it isn't like a suggestion, it isn't like an idea, it's actionable things where it teaches you how to make a poison gas weapon with household items. And it's not a lot either. It's like six different chemicals you can mix together and make a noxious gas. I mean, even so, like, I think that's one of those things that you definitely can't put anywhere, because I know for a while there was the schematics for a 3D printed gun that you can kind of get in anywhere because it's plastic. And I know that was on the web for a little bit and that got taken down pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I think outside of that, I don't think anybody's going to go after Jeff Bezos for selling something on a site that some people think are good and some people think are bad. Because that would be unfair. That would be like somebody saying, like, well, why do you sell the Bible if the Bible tells people that slavery is okay? And you're like, well, actually, it doesn't say that. Like, no. People used it for that. So there's ideals in there that I don't agree with. So you can't sell that.
Yep. Well, real quick, we're going to take our final ad break. And finally, we're going to talk about some computer and consumer technology as the holiday comes through. Stand by.
Yeah, baby, you know what time it is. Now let's get it started.
While our HBCUs are mostly known for an academic rigor, community, they also know how to turn up.
Does he have it? Yes, he does! And that might be the knockout punch.
And we are back. Now, as you guys can tell, November is here. Christmas time is right around the corner. Folks, you know, money burning people's pockets before Black Friday hit. So we want to put the question out to our audience. And for folks that are watching, feel free to comment in about things that you're looking forward to seeing in terms of consumer electronics, games, toys, what have you. Going into the holiday in terms of stuff that you want to see for Christmas. I mean, me personally, you know, outside of getting a console, I'm, you know, get my PS5 finally. You know, yes.
Good thing Dom's not here.
You know,
Dom's like, traitor.
I think I'm trying to get into smartware. You know, finding myself a Google, you know, find myself a Google Watch, Google Wear, or something like that, and trying to decide on. Oh, you got the Pixel? Is that the Pixel or what?
No, this is an old Samsung Active 2.
Oh, Samsung Active 2.
Yeah, with that crappy Tizen thing on it. So it's not cool. It's just, it looks good though.
Yeah,
I love it. It works for me.
Yeah, Wear OS. Like stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. You know, new phones. I mean, like I said, me personally, I was thinking about just flat out Googling everything. You know, getting a new Pixel 7, getting the Buds, and getting the word
like along with it.
Yeah, you know, I think, I mean, there are plenty of things that that are on the wish list for a lot of people. You know, I just shooed my little girl away because we're talking about some top secret information that might end up on her Christmas list. You know, namely a light. You know, a Nintendo light. So, yeah, you know, I'm trying to keep her away. She's trying to be nosy. She thinks she's slick. But, yeah, man.
Mess up on the window. I mean, on the door already.
I mean, what? I mean, what's the top thing on your list in terms of consumer tech that you would like to see?
Honestly, I think it's been time enough, and this is the time where I'm glad Dom isn't on the show because I'm going to negate what you just said. I got my PS5, thankfully, I think like a year or two ago. Bought it sometime in December. I think I got it till right around my birthday in January. But I got that, and of course now I'm like, okay, well, I want to get an Xbox so I can play the whatever comes on, you know, the Xbox Live Arcade and the Game Pass, you know, like pick up and play something real quick because I don't always have time for AAA titles, except when next week comes out and I, you know, God of War Ragnarok comes out. I'm not going to do anything else. That's going to be it. But I'm looking forward to that. I actually do want to try out the PSVR, see how that is. I don't know if I'm getting that $200 controller that they're selling, but that seems cool. I was actually thinking about getting the Pixel Watch because I think I've had this for maybe 2 or 3 years at this point. I've also had this other phone, this big Galaxy Note 10 for forever. Usually I get a new phone every year or every 2 years because I was really into that. But I mean, this is my work phone. It's a Pixel with a nice little case on it from Peak Design, which took me 2 months to get that case.
Yeah,
it's an Android case that actually does MagSafe things from Apple.
Yeah, because I know I'm trying to, you know, I got, well, outside the smartware stuff for myself, you know, I'm thinking about what I can do for parents this year that's techie, but isn't so overly techie that they're completely overwhelmed and they call me every 5 seconds. You know,
I think probably the best gift as somebody who also like install stuff all the time, there's two things that everybody loves. One thing is smart doorbells because they love those. Everybody loves those. I love mine. And the other thing are the Sonos smart speakers. I think those are the 1SLs. I think those are right around 179, 200, 199, something in that range. But for them to be, I mean, they're like maybe the size of a small loaf of bread. or half loaf of bread, and they have phenomenal sound. They sound great. Of course, you can chain them together and do all that stuff, but I think if I was going to get a gift for my mom, because she plays music on her Alexa now, and the sound quality on those little Alexa dots are crap, but she enjoys it because she can say, hey, Alexa, play the song, and it plays it. So I would probably get her a 1SL that has Alexa built into it, or tell her to switch from Alexa and start using Google. Because I feel like I have both in my house, and I feel like Google Assistant is a little bit more attentive to what I want.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, as I look around my office here, you know, there are varying stages of earbuds, earphones, microphones, all sorts of tech that I'm going to have to either repurpose or, dare I say,
big microphone.
Yeah, exactly, bruh, right here.
Right.
you know, all those things that I'm gonna have to really think about either repurposing, or you know, passing on to to other tech challenged people in my family. So, you know, the good thing is when I keep a lot of my tech in really really high in really really good condition. So. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where I really sometimes I have a hard time parting with this stuff. And it's like, do I really want to give up this, you know, this tower? I got some stuff on it. I could just, you know, you can just take the hard drive out, you know. But I think it's a good thing to do to really evaluate what you have. You know, particularly if you're really fond of buying, you know, consumer technology. You know, you have to really take a step back sometimes and reevaluate what you got in your inventory and what you need to get rid of before you restock up. So, yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, but, you know, I've been holding off on the whole Xbox thing simply because, you know, I play a lot of PC games, you know, on Shadow. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, so you already kind of have all that stuff.
Yeah, already kind of. I mean, between, you know, my Blizzard account, you know, my EA account, which, you know, I get my FIFA and my Madden and my NBA 2K Live and stuff in, you know, I'm good. You know, do I really need another next gen system? You know, the only reason why I would, you know, I'm really looking for PlayStation is because, you know, it's PlayStation. And that was something that prior to me getting a 4, I was just like, okay, yeah, I will definitely get one next gen console that's going to be a PlayStation. So, yeah, that's definitely something that, you know, that's on the horizon in terms of gifts. I mean, for those of you folks out there that are looking at specific things, tablets, things of that nature, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, unless you're just an Apple stan, like, you know, like our boy Dom, you know, where you just be in the ecosystem and it's like, yes, I'll buy it. Please, I'll buy it. You know, there's some things that just don't hold the appeal of customers anymore. And, you know, tablets, you know, particularly Apple tablets, some of the offerings that Samsung has in terms of tablets and stuff, you know, unless you're just hell-bent on just completely decking out your entire pad, you know, with nothing analog, you know, you're just controlling everything from a tablet. It's kind of, you know, counterproductive now because you can control those things from watches and phones and the whole nine. So, you know, I find myself always kind of just, and, you know, even when I do my little window shopping bit, whether it's at the Microsoft store or Apple store or you know, any place where they're, you know, high angle electronics are located, you know, I'm just like, do I really want to get this? You know, how am I going to integrate this in what I already got? Am I going to catch you for getting this? You know, so, I mean, and that's kind of what it is, you know. For those of you guys out there that like hitting YouTube to check out content creators, check out Flossie Carter. You know, Tech Me Out was a guest on our show a while back. She's an HBCU product, and she is completely blowing up in terms of consumer tech. You know, Marcus Brownlee, MBK, you know who, everybody kind of knows who this dude is right now. I mean, check these folks out. You know, it's definitely something, you know, for folks that are looking for gift ideas, looking for, you know, ideas for themselves, you know, as the holidays, you know, come around. Maybe you just want to get a gift for yourself. You know, yeah. I'm in that boat because, you know, I've earned it. You know,
like, I've done enough. I think I've earned this.
Exactly. You know, I mean, check those folks out. Flossie Carter is kind of funny.
You know, he is. Him in white shoes.
White shoes. You know, that's that gritty New York thing that they bring to consumer tech. You know, shout out to White Shoes, you know, minus the theme music. You know, and like I said,
theme music gets me every time.
Yeah, people know Tech Me Out and Marcus Brownlee and those guys. Those guys put out extremely, you know, informative and really, really, really solid content. So check those guys
and
out.
I mean, MKBHD, like he's the only person to get Elon on. Well, he's the first person to get Elon on record to say that he was going to build a $25,000 Tesla.
Yeah.
And people are still holding him to that because of that interview he did with him.
Yeah, so, and that's like
a big deal. Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing for folks that are looking a little bit higher for on the gift scale, you know, mm-hmm. like for EVs and things the like. Come the new year, you know, you may start seeing some of those, you know, some of those concepts start hitting the market in terms of, you know, smaller, more economical EVs that are meant to, quote unquote, fill that affordable vehicle space. Although I ain't seen it yet, unless I don't believe it yet, you know, because I mean, looking at Chevy's offerings, for example, from the Volt all the way up to the, you know, to the new Equinox and Mustang that are coming out, you know, I'm not trying to give my firstborn child away for any of those things.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely something to explore if you got the scratch. If you don't, you know, it's going to be hard to find EVs on the used market simply because they're EVs.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I get alerts from some EVs that I was shopping for before we bought ours. And I see stuff, like, I just got an alert. Matter of fact, it was just on my phone. It's a 2017 Tesla Model X for, I think they said it was $86,000. And I'm like, I got an alert for a 2018 one yesterday. And it was, okay, hold on, 2017 Model X. P100, which is the high top one, like the second best one that they make. I think there's a P100. No, P100D is the best one they make. Only got 9,500 miles on it. It's $89,000, which Car Gurus are saying it's $5,500 above market value. But somebody will pay for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they're like, I mean, if you're going to buy, if you're going to, like, my wife wanted a G-Wagon. I'm like, you going to spend 80 grand on a truck, and then it's 14 miles a gallon on the highway. And on top of that, you going to put premium gas in there, and you going to have to pay for $200 oil changes and all that stuff. Like, man, that's a lot of stuff, like cost of ownership. I say this all the time. I've had my Leaf since 2016, and I bought tires. I bought windshield wipers. I need to buy fluid because I'm out right now, but like, yeah, that's it. Exactly. I bought a new battery. So that's three things. I bought a new set of tires. I had to buy a new battery because the battery died during the winter time. And I bought a new set of wipers, front and rear. So that's four things I bought in 6 years.
That's crazy. That's really crazy. We are about to close out this episode of the Black Techies podcast. I want to give a couple of shout outs first to all the folks that are holding it down in terms of HBCU content, sports content, HBCU culture content on all the social platforms out there, man. You know, big shout out to you guys. You guys are doing incredible work. Big shout out to the HBCU esports landscape as it stands right now, Coppin State Esports, Morgan State Esports, Benedict Esports, Morris Brown Esports. They're going to be on the scene in a minute. And Johnson C. Smith Esports, amongst others. Don't be surprised if you see those things become a part of the homecoming and HBC culture landscape a lot more going in the future, because these guys are putting the work. The HBC Esports League, so many to name, you know, really good work, young folks doing a lot of really good stuff. So big shout out to those guys. Big shout out to the rest of the techies. Although, you know, most of those guys right now are in various states of travel or engagement with other activities. Leslie Moore, Dave Matthews, a.k.a. Packet Stealer, Dominic Bass, a.k.a. Blackity Black Man, the most militant cat on this podcast. We will see you guys here, as well as our extended techies, Ebony Burrows. I think she's someplace probably recovering from Jiho still, but we'll probably, you know, we're going to try to get her back on the show at some point. Everybody that's followed at Black Techies, from its start. You know, we're, you know, 3.5 years into this, and being on HBC Digital Network, we probably, me and Dave, wouldn't have imagined it when we started it. So, you know, big shout out to everybody that's followed us, you know, from the beginning. Follow us on our Patreon, you know, come join us in the, you know, in the Black Techie Collective, you know, on our Facebook page, follow us and subscribe, you know, on our YouTube channel. And finally, big shout out to HBC Digital Network, you know, our new overlords for this podcast. You know, Adam Powell, those guys do an awesome job, and, you know, they keep us cranking out pretty good content. So I'm looking forward to, we're looking forward to making sure that our audiences are covered. Until
Can
next
I say
time.
One thing before we close?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna say something real quick. I promise I'll be brief. First off, I want to say, rest in peace to Takeoff. You know, like as a man of Atlanta right now, I can't say Atlanta native, but as a man of Atlanta, I love this place and I love the people and the culture that it produces. And I was really upset to find out that my man got killed. But I don't think we need to take this time to bash hip hop. I don't think we need to take this time to bash the culture and to constantly jump out the window every time a black man dies. Nipsey, DMX, like I would love to see more Nas and Jiggas and Big Daddy Kanes and Rakims aging gracefully and still jumping in and doing stuff now. Dougie Fresh, like all these guys that give them an opportunity to, I want to hear, see some gray haired elder statesmen of hip hop, you know, die peacefully in their sleep. But I don't think this is the time or the opportunity to start saying like, oh, hip hop's the problem in that, because rock and roll is equally violent, if not more so. And I don't see none of them dudes dying from axe wounds and stuff like that. So
yeah, the culture,
it's more to it than that.
Yeah, the culture ain't the problem.
It's not, because I tell my friends this. I posted this on my page the other day. I would not be who I am without hip hop. Like, I grew up listening to Black Thought, Roots, Common, Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul. Like, I don't understand. There was Biggie kicking the door in, but there was also, you know, Electronic Relaxation telling everybody to, you know, enjoy yourself, be smart, know yourself. Rakim trying to teach y'all divine mathematics and stuff. But you pick what you choose and you choose what you pick. And hey, you wanted to listen to violent music. You like listening to violent music. You like listening to music that glorifies violence and drugs and degrading women and stuff. That's your choice. That's a aspect of hip hop. That is not all of it. You're choosing to do that stuff. Just like if you go on the internet, you can pick whatever website you want to get your news from. Everybody's selling news. And I'm saying selling is the right word. Every click that you do, you're selling, buying that thing that you're clicking on. So change your focus. Don't tell everybody else, hey, you got to stop. Go, if you know Jay-Z, if you know one of these dudes that you can tell him, can you start rapping about investing like Jay-Z's been doing for a couple of years now? Like, start rapping about making smart financial decisions, whatever, fine. But don't tell everybody else that hip-hop is poison. Hip-hop is all this thing. That is not it. Hip-hop is a weapon like anything else, like a gun. You know, you can build or destroy. So choose wisely.
Yep. And I couldn't end on a better note. On that note, to everybody that's watching, thank you for tuning into the podcast. Hail Wakanda.
Hail Wakanda.
Oh yeah, and November 11th, if you ain't there, you know, with bells and whistles on, you know, and your, you know, and your dashiki.
You ain't bought your tickets now, you in trouble.
Yeah, host, you know, we're gonna clown. So
right.
Get to the theater.
Right.
Peace.